Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Tired of living in debt? Discover how you can successfully defeat debt once and for all at oneononedebt.com. Imagine being completely debt-free in as little as 12 to 30 months. Debt negotiation experts at oneonedebt.com are standing by to help you get back on your feet financially. Log on to the number 1-O-N-1-debt.com today and see how easy it is to reduce your unsecured debt by up to 65%, lower your monthly payments, eliminate late fees, and save thousands off your outstanding debt balances. So, give yourself relief from those nagging collectors and the fear of bankruptcy. Defeat debt once and for all at oneonedebt.com. Visit oneonedebt.com today or call 1-888-2-DEBT-63 for your free consultation. That's 1-888-2-DEBT-63. In as little as 12 to 30 months from right now, you could be completely debt-free. Go to oneonedebt.com and reduce your debt once and for all. Again, log on to 1-O-N-1-DEBT.com.
Hey everybody, it's your girl Cy Brown, and today is Black Friday. Oh, it's just so good being black. They finally give us a day. Any other time, it's the White House, and it's Black Friday, so black people stand up, shoot. You know, that's all I'm saying. Yo, it's a day after Thanksgiving, and I'm doing a radio show. I am not even out shopping. I have no money to spend. My son's birthday is Monday, and he's like, Ma, can I get the 8-ball jacket? What is it with these kids that just want money, 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 money? Maybe it's us, you know. I'm sure a little bit of that has to do with the parents. I can't totally blame my son. But you know what? Yesterday was Thanksgiving, and I had the most fantastic time hanging out with my families and my in-laws. And it's just kind of good to be able to come home, you know, hanging out with everybody, be like, oh. You know, I was talking to one of my husband's sisters yesterday. She's actually thanked in my new book, Politics Remixed. Her name is Betty. And, you know, you catch a quiet moment with some people during certain parts of the day. And I said to her when we were in the kitchen, I was like, Betty, you know what? I remember when I first started coming over here, I was afraid. Like, the first Thanksgiving I spent with my husband's family, I was absolutely terrified. And you know, I guess that could sound kind of insulting, but it wasn't them. I just was like, there was people everywhere. You know, it was me, my mother, my stepfather, and a cat. And when I went over there, my husband has 4 sisters and 1 baby brother, and 1 sister has 5 kids, 1 sister has 4, my other sister-in-law has 2, and my other sister-in-law has 2. So if you don't claim your chair at that moment, you can forget it. But anyway, you know, it was just nice, though. I don't know what everybody did for Thanksgiving. I had an absolutely wonderful time for Thanksgiving. And, you know, it was what it was. You all know that DeJuan hangs out with us every Thursday, and he does our weekly Bible study, but I call it a weekly life study because I think we should all be studying life and not just the Bible. But he sent me a message through Twitter, and it said, I invited people to dinner who they invited to dinner who they invited to dinner. Can I charge $20 a head? And I thought that was just one of the funniest things because it's true. Everybody always ends up with more people at your house than what you originally intended. So I just thought that was kind of funny. So just laugh with me. Just a couple quick things, just some house cleaning things. We're quickly winding down to the end of 2009, and a big shout-out to everybody who's been listening to the show. Oh, I'm sorry, 2008. One day I'm going to get the dates right. We're ending my sister-in-law is here with me in the studio. We're going to bring her on the air in a minute. She's holding up 8 fingers. She's like, sigh, 2008. Okay, let me try this again. Let's erase that off the tape. I wonder if I can edit that out. But anyway, we're quickly coming down to the end of 2008 as we enter into 2009. But I think it's time, and for those of you who do listen to the show every day, I'm so grateful and I'm so appreciative of you following the show. But really, we're going to ramp up for 2009 our quest and our desire to be better us's, because we're not the best us's that we are as is, and we can. There's always room for improvement. So for the next couple of weeks before 2009 comes in, every day we're going to talk about tips and strategies about being better us's. And I'm taking the liberty to start today. We started already, but today we're talking about if we have no possessions, who would you be? And I come from a very personal place when I talk about this because for so many years I hid behind my possessions. I hid behind this is what defines me. This is who I am. I got this and I got that. But at the end of the day, does it really matter? Like, let's really look at it. At the end of the day, does it really matter what you have or what you don't have? And for the most part, to a lot of people, it really does. For the most part, it really does matter. And that's what defines you. And I don't want to be at a place in my life where I'm defined by the stuff that I have. And this is some deep stuff, because what happens is when you start to undefine who you are, you have to strip a lot of that extraneous stuff away from you. You have to strip away the cars, the jewelry, the clothes, the this, the that. And once you start to strip away that stuff, do you feel good about yourself? What's up, High Road? I see you in the chat room. Thank you for joining me. You put good afternoon, Sai. You know, thank you for joining me. I love to see you here. I'm happy to have you here. I hope your Thanksgiving was a good one. I'm just sending out, before we jump into today's show, I'm sending out a quick tweet right now. Today on Life Remix Radio, do-do-do-do-do-do, if we have no possessions, who would you be? So basically that's what we're going to talk about today. And to get right into it, we're just going to have a good time on today's show. I gave all the house cleaning. Happy Thanksgiving. Oh, follow my blog, sybrown.blogspot.com. And don't forget to join our online family, the Life Remixed family. Just log on to liferemixed.ning.com, N-I-N-G.com. And just one last sidebar before we get into today's show. I am going to videotape. I'm going to say a curse word, which I never say on the air, but I am going to videotape all the jackasses on the road and in Walmart and at Best Buy knocking people down and kicking people over for stuff they cannot afford. So I already videotaped some stuff yesterday when I was in Queens at my sister-in-law's house. People lined up at Best Buy at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I don't know how many of you were outside yesterday in Queens, but it was brick outside. So I'm going to be videotaping it, and I'll post it all up to YouTube tonight. So that's what it is. But let's jump right into today's show. And I'll tell you where I come from so you understand the nature of what I'm talking about. Yesterday, you know, just hanging out, I told you about all my nieces and nephews, all of the family that I saw, all the people that I was hanging out with. And I had a great time because I haven't seen many of my nieces and nephews for so long. And, you know, I've been with my husband for almost 20 years. So you see them born, you see them grow up. And I have a nephew who's about the same age as my son, Daquan. And he walked into the house and said, oh, wait, real quick in the chat room. Someone got trampled to death in Long Island. This morning? Dag, I didn't even hear that one, probably because I was getting ready for today's show. That's why I called them the name that I did, because it's really bizarre that people are out doing this for stuff they probably cannot afford. But I digress. Let me get back to my nephew. Anyway, he walks into the house. He's so absolutely tall and so absolutely gorgeous. I just love him. And I said, hi. And he's like, hey, auntie. And, you know, we're kicking it, talking or whatever. And then as he's getting ready to leave, he puts on this really nice jacket. And it's chocolate brown leather with all these sparkly things on it. I thought it was like James Brown or something. You know what I'm saying? Got the shining and the bling bling. And I'm like, oh, baby, that's a cute jacket. He was like, yeah, it was like $1,000, but I got it for however many hundred it is. I don't even know how many hundreds it was. And he had on the matching shoes, too. And I'm like, that's kind of nice. And just in so doing and having that conversation, the price came out. The price came out of what that stuff cost. And I'm saying to myself, that's a lot of money. And everybody in their youth, I did it plenty of times, we overspend. But it was a little sad that I didn't have an opportunity to really learn and see who he was as opposed to learning about the stuff that he had on. And this is not to put my nephew on blast, but it's to really make people cognizant and make people aware and to awaken your higher self and to awaken the God in you to know that we can, that we should not be defined by the possessions that we have. And it's not easy. So, all right, when I'm thinking about what I'm going to talk about today on the air, I sent some text messages out to people who kind of helped me, you know, get the show together. And they threw the question back to me, like, yo, who are you without your possessions? And I had to think twice about that. You know, I come to you guys every single day, like, yo, it's your girl, Sky Brown, rocking on your radio. But then I really had to take a quick look at what defines Saida Brown. Am I defined by my hair? A lot of people talk about my hair. Am I defined by my height? Am I defined by the fact that I have a fly radio show every single day? Like, what defines Sky Brown? What makes me, or what makes people know who I am? Is it because of what I drive? Is it not because of what I drive? Is it because of where I live? Is it because, like, really, really, what is it? So when I look at that, and I've shared with you all before that when I lived in Atlanta, I had a very dear friend of mine, and she drove a brand new Jaguar. And the Jaguar that she had, she used to date Kyle from Jagged Edge. And I'll never forget, she was saying to me how that car got her business, just having a Jaguar. Now, her payment, her car payment alone was $800 a month. And I was like, yo, how can you afford an $800 car payment? She's like, Sai, you don't know how much business this car has gotten me, for which I really don't doubt. But do I want to get business based on a car that I drive? Like, I want people to be like, yo, Sai is smart. She's good at what she does, and I'll rock with her that way. So it's really tricky. So in the meantime, I just really want to, you know, read two very short scriptures, and I'm going to bring in a very special guest who's joining me here in the studio. But if for those of you that have your Bible, and I know some of you are at work, some of you are at home, but, you know, I'll put this up on my blog later on this afternoon. There's a scripture in the Bible, and this is also going to go in the concordance. Remember, we have liferemixconcordance.blogspot.com, and that's where you can refer to scriptures in the Bible to help you live your best life. But in the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 25, it says clearly, this is part of Peter's confession to Christ, and it says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit his very self? And when you look at that, it's like, do you really want to gain everything here on earth, but yet you don't even know who you are? It says right now, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit his very self? You begin to lose your identity. You begin to lose who you are. You start succumbing yourself to stuff that doesn't even matter. And I beg to tell my nephew, what happens when that jacket gets old? What happens when those sneakers become worn down? And they were very nice, I have to say. But at the end of the day, that jacket's going to get played out. So when that jacket is played out, you've worn it, because you can't wear a jacket like that too many times, because people are going to be like, dad, he's always rocking that same jacket. You have one of two things. You either have to go out and do things you may not necessarily want to do to maintain that look, or you have to just let it go. And I'm thinking, like, I don't want my nephew, as much as I love him dearly, to be defined by the clothes that he has. Let me just read something in the chat room, and I'm going to bring in my guest for today. The High Road says, If I had no possessions, I'd be free. So much of what makes up and takes up my time is my attachment to this world. I could do so much more to benefit myself and others if it wasn't for the job I got to go to or the mortgage I got to pay or the obligations I just got to tend to. They are all illusory trappings of this world. Baby, you hit it right on the head. And let me tell you something. When I quit my job at 22 years old, my sons at the time were a year old and 5 years old. And my younger son's godmother, she bought a Lexus, she's balling, going to Jamaica. I could not do all of those things because at that point, to me, it was more about building a business from the ground up and hanging out with my kids all day. And even to this day, I will tell anybody, I'm not going to tell you the year of my car, but the car that I have has been paid off for. I actually paid cash for it. It's a Honda Accord, and it's old. And it's funny because I step out and people will be like, you know, I'll see their face. But you know something? Because I don't have a car payment, because I don't live a flamboyant life, I can actually do the things that I want to do in life because I don't have debt. I'm not trying to front. I'm not trying to have things that people may think I should have. And one of the things that the Bible speaks of, I'm going to read one more scripture from the book of Romans, chapter 13. Let me toss that up in the chat room. I just want to say hello to the guest that's listening. I see you just signed on in the chat room. Welcome to Life Remix Radio. It's your girl, Cy Brown, rocking with you every single day at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time on the radio. And so just thank you for joining us today. It's a pleasure having you this day after Thanksgiving. So on that note, you're more than welcome to join us every single day. But back to the scripture, and I just put it up in the chat room. The scripture that I'm reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. And it talks about submission to authorities. Now, let's put that in context of what we're talking about. If we have no possessions, who would we be? Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against God. I'm so sorry. Let me start over because I want to make sure I get this right. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you, for he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, if you're afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to authorities, not because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is why you pay taxes for the authorities of God's servants, who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. At the end of the day, this means owe no man. You can interpret it any kind of way you want to interpret it. The only thing that we are supposed to succumb ourselves to or hold in high regard is things that are of God. That's it, point blank, outright. And it's right here in the Bible. And I'm sure I can pull up other types of writings. Right now I'm reading The Secret. Right now I'm reading the book, and I'm taking the Course in Miracles, and I'm learning about the miraculous things that go on around us. We can command angels if we need to. There is so much power in living with God that we don't need to be defined by stuff. We don't need to be defined by the stuff we have, the stuff we want, the stuff we're going to get, the stuff we might get. It's illusionary, just like the high road put up in the chat room. That stuff is not real. And you know what was so funny? When I was looking at my nephew yesterday, I have a jacket, an Avirex jacket that is in my closet right now. I got this jacket in 1999, and I begged my husband, please, I got to have this jacket. Please, I got the jacket was $600. My friend had gotten a jacket, and then the next day, Well, he had gotten it for $400, so I went back. And I'm like, son, I can get this jacket cheap. Please, 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 please. And, you know, my husband just trying to keep me quiet, got me the jacket. We got the jacket for $400. A year after, not even a year, like the end of that season, the zipper ripped. I still have the jacket. I can only snap it up. But the point is this. Every time I open my closet, my front hall closet, I look at this jacket that I spent $400 on that I have not worn in 8 winters. Now, every once in a while, I'll toss it on because it's still a hot jacket. And luckily, I never bought stuff that was very, very trendy. But looking back, I would rather take that $400 and invest it in a computer, invest it in something that can help me grow personally and professionally, something that can help me be a better Saida, because having that jacket was great for that winter, for that 2, 3, 4 months I was able to rock it. But what happens after that? How do we move forward from that? Let me see what's going on in the chat room. A lot of activity. Oh, what's up, LaVon? How was your Thanksgiving yesterday? I'm going to call you or you call me when we get off the air. I see you joined us in the chat room. It's a pleasure having you. You know I have to talk to you. Everybody, Noval just joined us in the chat room, and we're giving her very, very good wishes. She's moving to Pittsburgh on Tuesday. So we wish you safe travels, and I want to find out how your Thanksgiving went, and that's about all I'm going to talk about on the air. But let's talk after the show. Let's talk behind the scenes today. Let me see what the high road put in the chat room. He wrote, hold on, I had to open my screen. The scripture has been misused to enslave and exploit much of humanity, but I get what you mean. Time brings wisdom, huh? Yeah, you know what? It really does. And I'll share something extremely personal. On Wednesday, I wrote a letter, and I haven't mailed it yet, but I wrote a letter resigning from my church. And it was a very painful and difficult letter to write, because even in life, we're defined by what church do you go to? What church do you belong to? Even in so much as what church you belong to defines your social status. In Atlanta, everyone either belongs to Creflo Dollar's church or they belong to Bishop Eddie Long's church. And so if you belong to World Changers, which is Creflo Dollar's church, okay, that means you're one way. And if you belong to Bishop Eddie Long's church, oh, that means you're another way. You could belong to the little tiny church on the hill that has more Jesus in it than any big mega church. But relinquishing my membership to a church was very, very difficult. But I'm finally at a place where I don't even want to be defined by what church I belong to. And I say that with the utmost respect to churches. Y'all know I'm reading the book Love Jesus, Hate Church, and the author is Steve McCrane. Let me put that up in the chat room. I'm going to put his website, www.lovejesushatechurch.com, and I'm going to try to get him on the show because there's millions of us that love Jesus and hate church. But as it goes back to, if we have no possessions, who would you be? What empowers us? I don't even want to be defined by what church I go to. You know, what church you go to, what school you go to. Let's even take it a notch higher. Let's look at it. What college did you go to? You know, I've had people tell me in business meetings, Saida, where did you go to undergrad? Right then and there, by giving that response, where did you go to undergrad, I feel like because I'm black, I have to say I attended an HBCU. Oh, I went to Howard, or I went to Spelman, or I went to Yale. Would people still give Barack Obama the same respect that he had if he did not attend Harvard? If he attended, let's say, Hudson County Community College? Already people define us by the stuff that we have, the things that we wear, the cars we drive, and the only one that can stop that is you. People are going to continue to judge you by what you have and what you wear if you allow it. Nothing just happens to us by happenstance. Everything that happens to us happens for a reason, and I'm a firm believer that the lives we lead are based upon the decisions that we make. So if people judge you by what you wear and what you have one of two choices. Number one, continue perpetuating that lie because you probably cannot afford it. Or number two, let the label go, feel a little bit embarrassed for a minute, but at the end you'll feel a lot better. The High Road just tossed up in the chat room, shed the labels. I had to go through detox, figuratively, not literally. Y'all know I may have a glass of red wine, but that's about all I do. But I literally, yet figuratively, had to go through detox. And I had to detox my children because I had to let my kids know this is not what makes or breaks you. And I remember my younger son, the darling son that he is, there was a point where he loved New Balance sneakers. He was about 6 or 7 years old, and he would wear his sneakers till they had holes in them. And my husband and I used to laugh, like, we can't let him go outside looking like that. People are going to think we don't buy him clothes. People are going to think he looks stupid. People are going to talk about us. But you know something? He was comfortable. He was comfortable. And over the years, I have allowed my kids to wear what they want to wear, worn, tattered, raggedy. And it sounds like, Miss Sai, I know you're not going to let them walk out the house like that, but you know something? I kind of do, because I want them to feel comfortable no matter what they have on. I don't want them to feel compelled or be under some obligatory cloud that I have to look a certain way. Now, of course, you have to be professional, but I guess that comes from me being self-employed. Self-employed, I can pretty much wear whatever I want to wear to quote-unquote work because I'm the boss. But if you really look at it and you start to shed the things that other people define you by, it's so much more freeing. You can live such a free life because you're not worried about what other people are going to think of you. The High Road tossed in the chat room. I heard Dr. Africa say, the school I went to didn't teach me to love myself or my people, so it really doesn't matter. I disagree with that. I've always had a problem with loving myself. I remember when I was going through my purging process of just trying to find out who Saida is and trying to be the best Saida. I hated who I was, and I still struggle with that. I look in the mirror, I'm like, I'm too fat, I'm too this, I wish my hair was longer, my nails are too short. Like, I went through all of these things, but it's not until, but that's only because I was judging myself by measured standards. And when I stopped judging myself by measured standards, I started to feel a lot better. And I remember writing in my second book, From Hip Hop to Heaven for Girls, that I tell young girls, if you only get your period 4 times a year and you've always gotten your period 4 times a year, that's normal for you. Just because everybody else in America, every woman in America may get it once a month, which is 12 times a year, well then, that's normal for them. But we have to get to a point where we say, I can only judge me by me. I can't judge me by anybody else's standards. I can't judge me by what anybody else wants to define me as. Because the minute you start doing that, you're really going to be in a place where you're never comfortable, you're never happy, you're always feeling guarded. I don't want to live a measured life. And I do firmly believe that there has to be some regard in life to time. There has to be some regard to conformity. I'm not saying live a loose life. There has to be some conformity. But really, at the end of the day, we're really the ones who define who we are. And when I got saved, I guess, or transformed or changed the way I am, I'm looking around me. Everybody else got nice cars. Everybody else has nice clothes. And I'm like, this really sucks. This going with God is not fun. Going with God is like, yo, where's all my friends? People think I'm corny. I don't hang out in the club. And then I came across one of the most beautiful scriptures in the entire Bible, and I'm going to put it in the chat room now. This scripture has really saved my life. and it comes from the book of Malachi. Well, we really doing a Bible study today. I didn't think so, but, you know, I do what the Lord tells me to do. It comes from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. This scripture saved my life and continues to save my life. And from the book of Malachi, I read, well, first let me tell you, I was at a place where I was very angry with God. You know, you go to the altar, you're crying at the altar, you're snotting at the altar, throw your hands up, I love you, Jesus, I love you, take me. And then all of a sudden you have a problem and you're like, yo, this really sucks. Christianity is not fun. What happened to that altar moment? And then that's when we get to a point where we realize we're not going to have altar moments all the time. And so that's when you get in your Bible, and I read in my Bible, these are people talking to God, and it speaks to robbing God. But this is how it is in context. You have said it is futile to serve God. Futile meaning pointless. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, and in the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Right there is the scripture that I always refer back to when I say, I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm not being defined by my possessions. Y'all know I just painted my house last week, and I've been in my apartment since the middle of the summer. But I had to remember, those are the things that don't define me. Sigh defines sigh. And what defines me is my walk with Christ, my walk towards consistent enlightenment, my walk towards really wanting to do the right thing, my walk towards being the best side that I can be. I'm actually going to read that one more time because this is so powerful. This is what helps me, Cy Brown, stay on the right path and not deviate and not do things that I know I'm not supposed to do. And again, I'm reading from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, and I'm going to read from verse 14 all the way down to verse 18. You have said it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. And I think when we really, really, really look at what he's saying, I always felt, what am I serving God for? What's the point? Is there any, what is the purpose? But he's saying right now, those who fear the Lord talk with each other. Is that not what we do every day? This is what we do right here on Life Remix Radio. Those who fear the Lord, love the Lord, or are walking towards the light, we come together to share and grow and really try to get this thing down. Because at the end of the day, he's saying a scroll of remembrance is being written concerning those who love him and those who don't, or who those who choose to walk in their own way. Those who choose to say, you know what, I don't want to go that way, I'm going to go this way. And I don't want to go that way. I want to be the person that God has designed me to be. I want to be, and I want to walk in the light. I want to be and impart my wisdom in the lives of others. But in order to do that, I have to shed all of those things that really don't make up Saida. Those things that don't define me, those things like my car, those things like my clothes, anything that I can hide behind, those are the things that I have to get rid of, because when we go before the Lord naked as who we are, that's when we really start to learn what goes on in our head, what goes on in our heart, and what goes on in our lives and in the lives of people around us. The Bible says, we can't take any of this stuff with us anyway. We can store up money, store up things, store up treasures. When we die, all of that stuff is going to go right to whoever we bequeath it to. I can't take my books with me when I go. I can't take my money with me. I can't take my laptop. None of this stuff belongs to us anyway. Everything that God gives us, we're supposed to share it and use it and help other people get to where we are. When you die, when your time has come and your spirit has left your body, can you really take your possessions with you? I don't think so. I know you can't. What are you going to take with you? What are you going to say? Well, when I die, put my bank statement in the coffin with me. Well, give me a break. You can put it in there, but you can't spend it. You're dead. You're absolutely dead. You can't use it. Once you become a spirit and you go back to spirit and your body, that your carcass goes in the ground, you can't spend any of that stuff. So if we have no possessions, who would we be? And I think it's really a point in time where we have to really sit. And I'm hoping that this message is timely for somebody. But we have to really sit and say, if I don't have any of the stuff that I think I'm supposed to have, will I be the same person? And you know, it's really what really makes me understand this even better. I'll never forget when I moved from Atlanta back to New York, and I've shared this too. I moved in with my grandmother, and when I moved in with my grandmother, she had everything you could possibly want in her house. She had dining room table, she had dishes, she had towels, she had all of these things, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. I guess that means I can't take any of this stuff with me. All of the things, and I've shared plenty of times, all of these things that I had in Atlanta that really defined who I was, my clothes, my business, my stuff, when I was moving, I could not take any of these things to my grandmother's house. So basically, I had to sell everything. I had to leave all of that stuff alone. And I went and I came back to New York with nothing. Now, I'm thinking that I was doing it by default. Like, you know, I'm doing it because, you know, I can't take any of this stuff with me to my grandmother's house because she's got plenty of stuff. But you know something? There was a lesson in that too. And that's why I'm always looking for life lessons everywhere I turn. Even though they're sour and I don't like to taste them sometimes, but there's always a life lesson somewhere. When I realized I couldn't take any of that stuff with me when I moved back to New York, I felt lost. I'm like, dang, I have nothing. And I remember talking with a dear friend of mine. I'm like, I don't have anything. But now looking back, you know, just time brings wisdom. This is, you know, the high road you put in the chat room at the beginning of the show, time brings wisdom. It sure does. But now looking back, I realized how rich I really was and how much stuff I really did have, even though I didn't have all the physical trappings and all the physical manifestations of things that I thought made Saida a better person. And, you know, for the most part, I still do want a lot of these things. I still do want a lot of stuff, but it's not important anymore. It's not my main focus. It's not my main goal. Right now, I want to share another scripture. Let me put this in the chat room real quick. It's coming from the book of Matthew, M-A-T-T-H-E-W, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24, and I'm putting all this stuff in the chat room, and I'll put it up on my blog at the end of the show. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 19 to 24, it talks about your treasures, and it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And I share that not to fear you into loving God. That's so not my purpose. It's really looking at it from a perspective of, if we have no possessions, who would you be? If my nephew didn't have that jacket or those $300 sneakers, who would he be? I would still love him, because he's my nephew. But even as I share this to apply to a 19-year-old, I think all of us who are adults, we have to really sit and look at the exact same lesson. Let's look at this lesson and how it applies to us. We already looked at the book of Malachi where it says, yeah, the people that don't do what we do are going to get blessed no matter what. The people that don't serve God, and the people that kind of live for themselves, they're going to still get blessed. They're still going to have stuff, but our treasure is to be saved up for use later. And then when we flip to the book of Matthew, it says right there, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, because moth and rust are going to destroy it, and thieves are going to break in and steal it. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And that really speaks to the spending. It speaks to how we live our life. It speaks to how we handle our relationships. It speaks to how we deal with other people. I look at all of the things, all of the commercials that I've seen on television for these last couple days, go out, spend, show people how much. One of them, I think it was a jewelry commercial, said, go out and show the one you love you care. Is that nuts? This particular jewelry company, who I will not mention because I do not want to get sued, but was comparing showing how much you care for somebody by buying them jewelry. Buy them jewelry to show how much you care. Is there not any other way to show somebody that you care for them except to buy them this particular brand of jewelry? That is absolutely bizarre, but you know what? I can say that now that it's bizarre, but for the first, let's say I started being a real grown-up at 20, I'm 37. Let's just say for the past 10, 12 years of my life, that's what I thought. I need this to show that you love me. I need this to prove that you love me. And I told you at the top of the show how I coerced my husband to buy me this $400 jacket that's collecting dust in the closet because I needed him to show me that he loves me. There's so many other ways for you to reveal to people how you love them, how you care for them. Boy, I guess there's just lessons in this for me as well. But, you know, let's go back to, if we have no possessions, who would we be? What empowers us? Because right here in the book of Matthew, it says in chapter 6, verse 24, No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So if we look at the empowering forces in our life, that really is going to determine who we are based on the possessions that we want. So if we want possessions for now, chances are we're going to be directed by money, and then that's the master, and then we become a slave to that. But if we become empowered to living the absolute best life we can with the help of God and the help of energy and the help of other people, all of a sudden material possessions become very unimportant and very irrelevant. And it's really a process that we have to go through. It's not easy. Oh, my God, is it not easy? It was so not easy for me because there's so many things that I wanted, so many things that I felt I deserved, so many things that Saida felt she needed, because that's really what defined me. I told you, I asked a friend earlier today, you know, what do you think of this topic? And the text message that I got back is, you know, who am I? And for a long time, I really don't know. And you know something, really honestly, very candidly, I still don't know. I'm learning now who I am, and I'm learning how not to define myself by what I have. And it's really difficult. It's not the easiest thing in the world, because what it requires is for you to really strip down, get naked in front of a mirror, and learn who you are and not be persuaded by what you see. And it's real easy for me to sit here, yeah, it's your girl, Cy Brown, rocking on your radio, this is what you need to do. But this is stuff that helps me be a better Cy every single day. This stuff doesn't come easy to me. This is not the easiest stuff to deal with. I would love to have my son rock that jacket and rock those sneakers and be fly. But then now, what messages and what signals do I have? You know what's really funny? I almost deny myself on purpose so my kids can see me for who I am as opposed to what they feel their mommy is supposed to have. And I remember sharing with you on the air when this whole financial crisis really started to manifest, probably in about August or September, my 14-year-old came and says, but I thought we were rich. Here's my 14-year-old coming to me saying, but wait a minute, what's up, what I can't have? He said to me, and this is really the truth, he said, Mommy, I thought we were rich. And I said to him, well, we're not rich, but we have what we need, we have what we're supposed to have, and we make it every day. And he got an attitude. He was like, this is not fun, I'm not feeling this. But I had to allow him, much to my chagrin, see me go without my nails being done. I had to allow him to see me be overdue for getting my roots done, because I want him to understand these are luxuries. These are things that are a blessing. These are things that everybody doesn't have. And based on that, he has to understand these are not the things that define us. I get my nails done because I like to. I get my hair done because I like to, not because that's what I need. But it's really, really, really hard to say, if we had no possessions, who would we be? And let's look at it. Oh, my God, we're down to the last couple minutes of the show. Time goes so fast. But let's look at it from the flip side. If we have many possessions, who would we be? I know a lot of people that have a lot of stuff and are the worst, oh, I almost said a not nice word, who are the worst and biggest losers you could ever imagine. And you know why? Because they have possessions. How many times do you think, oh, rich people are snobs? I'll give you a perfect example. When I'm driving down the road, how many of you see people driving a Lexus or a nice car and they're dipping in and out of traffic and like, yeah, move out of the way because I'm coming through? That's a perfect example of flipping it to what we're talking about today. If you have no possessions, who would you be? But if God gave you the desires of your heart, who would you be? Would you be an asshole? Or would you still be the nice person you were when you had nothing? And I think that's the true test of our faith right there, and the true test of our character. There's so many people that have very little but yet still find time to have happiness. And I'm blessed. I'm really blessed to have some very dear friends and a very small circle of people who keep me empowered and encouraged every day. And some of my friends don't have jack right now by society standards, but are the happiest people. And I remember asking, how could you be so happy? You don't have anywhere near the stuff you had before. And that's because their happiness does not lie in stuff. Just yesterday at Thanksgiving, my older son, who's 19, was so nice to everybody. He was smiling. He was cordial. He was clearing the table. And I looked at him with a skeptical eye, and I was like, yo, what do you want? What's up with you? You're acting real nice. As you know, I've talked about him on the air plenty of times. He and I go at it sometimes. He was like, nothing, Mom. I said, Daquan, you're up to something. Something. You know what he told me? Because I know I got money coming in. He gets paid today. Now, you know, he has a part-time job. He's in school. So his check is, you know, enough to keep him at 19 happy. But I said, so why were you so mean before? Because I didn't have any money, because they weren't giving me any hours at work. And I told him, and I can't even believe I'm sharing this. I was like, you know what, sweetheart? You have to learn to be happy when you have money, and you have to learn to be happy when you don't have money. Now, I can't believe that I'm even saying something like that, because it took me a long time to get to that point. Like, can I be happy with nothing so that way when I do get stuff, I'm just as happy? And that's something that I'm trying to teach my son right now. It's not an easy lesson to teach when you live the antithesis of that all your life. I lived and raised my children. You got to have stuff. You got to have stuff. You got to have stuff. So here I am and now trying to teach him the best way I can. You have to learn to be happy when you have stuff, and you have to learn to be happy when you don't have stuff. And that's why I'm saying if we have no possessions, who would we be? But if God gave us everything we wanted, who would we be? And when you look at that, when we just look at it from a flip side, look at it from both sides, it really makes us wonder. I think we're forced to wonder, and I think we're forced to choose, and we're forced to make some real serious decisions about how we gauge our life, how we live our life, and how we judge who we are and how we interact with other people. Oh, I'm looking in the chat room. What's up, True? You just joined. You put Psy in the family. What's up, True? I wasn't, you know, when I get on my little sermon, dare I say, I kind of don't look at the chat room, but I had to look just to see what time it was. Oh, my goodness, thank you for hitting me up in the chat room. To Psy in the family, what's good? True, it's just so good to see you. Hello. Today we were just talking about if you have no possessions, who would you be? In the last part of the show, I've just been talking about if you did have possessions, who would you be? And I'm going to close the show with this. I have a circle. My little nephew and my other sister-in-law spent the night with me last night, and I had such an absolute wonderful time. I was going to have her on the show, but she chickened out, and she's sitting here right next to me. Say hi, Tracy.
Hi.
That's my sister-in-law, one of my sister-in-law, and her son is here with me in the studio. I'm broadcasting from home today, everybody. I cheated. But right in front of my face, I have a circle, and my little nephew came in to me and said, Auntie, what's that circle for? And inside the circle is my name, and it has all of the stuff that I have. And outside the circle is all of the stuff that I would like to have, spending money, Rolex, new car, you know, just in this experiment. And it speaks to this circle being the core of who we are, the core of our life and the essence of who we are. KRS-One always talked about the essence of who we are. And when we really look at that, we have to be the same person, whether we have the stuff inside the circle and whether we are blessed to receive the stuff outside the circle, which is the desires of our heart. And if we stay true to who we are, we'll be able to find happiness in all circumstances. And thus concludes our lesson for today. Oh, True said, hey, Tracy, in the chat room.
Hi, True.
She said, hey, True. Yeah. Everybody who's listening, True, put your show in the chat room. Put your show when we can listen to your show in the chat room. And I'm listening. I think your show comes on tonight, right? Hit me up and let me know, because we want to make sure. Oh, let me put a couple websites in the chat room. because we're about to wind down today's show, go to www.liferemixed.ning.com to join our online community. You can also go to www.cybrown.blogspot.com to read my blog. And the last place you can go to, www.liferemixedradio.com to hear the show weekdays at 12 noon. Yeah, true. I thought your show was on Thursdays. What is it? www.blogtalkradio.com/trueview. Oh, yeah, you put it up already. So you type faster than me. Big whoop. Remember when people used to say that? Big whoop. So everybody check out True Show. True, what time does it come on? I think it your show comes on tonight, right? It's all about relationships. Don't forget to send it out on Twitter. Tracy says she's going to call into your show tonight. True, put your number to your show. I'm going to give it to her. What's the number to call in and listen to your show? Put that up in the chat room for us. Oh, we're down to 3 minutes in the show, everybody. Golly, it goes fast. All right, I'm putting some more stuff up in the chat room. Oh, the last piece I'm putting on the chat room is our concordance, www.liferemixedconcordance.blogspot.com. So that way all the stuff that we talk about and all the scriptures that we talk about, you'll be able to find it and refer back to. So it's Malachi 3, 14 to 17 we talked about today. Also, Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 24 we talked about today. Hey, what's up, Annie? I see you joined us in the chat room. So sorry I'm late. It's all good. We're getting ready to get off the air. Annie, please, we got to do the diabetes show. I'm putting my phone number in the chat room. I don't want you to put your phone number in the chat room because I want your privacy to be protected. But I just put my phone number in the chat room. Please call me so that way we could get you on the show so we could talk about diabetes. That's going to be a great show. True, your number is 646-716-8385. I'm going to give it to my sister-in-law. That way she could call into tonight's show. So her name is Tracy, Tracy Brown, so hit her up. What's up, Yolanda? Oh, my goodness. Everybody's joining me. I'm getting ready to get off the air. Let me write, Annie, I'm writing your number down right now, 970-241-7733. Well, I just blew up your spot, Annie, because I should have just written it down. Now I just put it on the air. I'm so sorry. But I'll call you Annie, because I really want to get you on my show so we could have a whole hour about diabetes, because I think, and I stand to be corrected, I think diabetes, is it slightly preventable based on the diet that we eat? I think so. Anybody can call me. Well, they're going to call you now because I just put your number out on the airwaves. Just a quick shout-out to Yolanda from Dryer Buzz. Hey, Yolanda, you're down in Atlanta, so thank you so much for listening to Life Remixed Radio. True says everybody is getting up late. Well, yeah, because let me tell you, I had the show scheduled for yesterday, and I was so busy with my family. Oh, I was down to like, it was like 4:30. I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot to do today's show. So anybody that called in, sorry about that. Oh, Annie put in the chat room, diabetes is absolutely preventable. Well, we're going to get that show popping. I have your phone number, Annie. I didn't know it was absolutely preventable, but I think it's something that affects our community. And so, Annie, I have your number. I will not say it again on the air. And also, I'm going to give my sister-in-law your phone number so she can listen to today's show. And I keep hearing in my ear, you're down to 54 seconds. I already concluded our lesson for today, but just for those of you who tuned in, we talked about if we have no possessions, who would we be? And at the end, we talked about if you get everything you want and the desires of your heart, who would you be? Would you still be the same fly person, or would you become a jerk? Anyway, I love you all for listening. Thank you so much for listening. You don't know how much it means to me. And never forget that the light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is. Wherever you are, God is. And always let God's light shine through you. Thanks, God, and so it is. Truth says I'm down to 1 minute. I got in our prayer. Oh, now I'm down to 10 seconds. All right, let me hurry up. And Annie says, Tuesdays and Thursdays are best for me. All right, I got you, girl. Listen, everybody, I love you. Don't spend too much money because y'all know we don't have it anyway. Peace.